God doesn't speak to me. He doesn't reveal himself to me. He's hidden. I feel like I'm so far away from God. He's never talking to me.
Well, you must obviously not pick up your Bible. The Bible is one of the most important places that we can ever go to learn anything about God, especially it's the best place to learn about Jesus Christ. And not only that, but the Spirit speaks through the Scripture. So what we're going to talk about a little bit today is praying with the Bible. So yes, you need to do your own Bible study. You need to read about sacred Scripture in mind with the church. And I highly recommend you start with the Gospels as far as reading sacred Scripture, just to get an idea of the life of Jesus first and foremost. And then you can work about going into the Old Testament and the rest of the New Testament. But when you're praying with sacred Scripture, you really don't need to start anywhere. I recommend starting with the Acts of the Apostles to pray from, because that will show us how powerfully the Holy Spirit can work and the impact that Christ had in these people's lives and how powerfully he was working even after their death. But when it comes to praying with sacred Scripture, it's very simple.
And this inspired Word of God means that every word in Scripture has the breath of the Holy Spirit in it. That power of the Holy Spirit is in the Word. That power of the Holy Spirit is in the Word. When you take in the words of Scripture, digest them, study them, assimilate, break them open, you don't just get the meaning of the word, you release power into you. The Holy Spirit actually touches you through the word. You can't overrate Scripture. You just can't. Always have a Bible there. Always. Some of the saints prayed months and years on same Scripture passage. It doesn't get old.
No, it doesn't.
Whatever God's word is for you, keep going on it. If you get a word of Scripture that has enormous power, a word of revelation feeding you in prayer, the best thing you can do the next day is go back to that exact same word and be fed again from the same source until it has accomplished its purpose in you. See, the reason it's feeding you and it's striking you so hard is because you need it. You need the encouragement. You need the inspiration. You need the conviction. You need to be taught it. You need to change in that way something. But you need it. So it's feeding your spirit. And as long as it's feeding, keep it feeding. And go back to it the next day or the day after.
Well, what you're doing is you're doing that reading and you're lingering on a little morsel of text. You're passing into meditatio or meditation. And as you're dwelling on that little portion of text, you're asking God to personalize that piece of text for you, to speak to you in a very real and personal way by saying, what is the living God trying to say to me? As you're trying to listen, you're trying to allow God to speak through the text. When that happens, you very naturally pass into oratio or prayer. Suddenly it becomes a prayer where you ask God to open his word for you. It is to speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, or Lord, that I may see. And it is a very personal intent prayer that it is ultimately a desire to enter into communion with God himself. And then you pass to that highest state, which is contemplatio or contemplation. And you can find many definitions of it, but I think the easiest one is quite simply, it's when you listen to God. And you perceive that God is speaking. He's actually, so to speak, being poured into your soul. I mean, if you found union with God because he is opening the Scriptures to you, he's pouring his own life into yours, what better thing do you have to do? You just hang out and enjoy it for as long as God wishes to speak.
Holy Spirit, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you for the marvelous things that you are doing in the world today. We ask that you enlighten our minds and open our hearts to receive your word and to know God's will for us in our life, to strengthen us so that we may be made more worthy to be seen in his sight, and that we may one day worship and adore you with all the saints in heaven. Amen. And then we also ask the Blessed Mother to help us when we're praying in Scripture, because she understood the word perfectly. Oh, Blessed Mother, we ask for your prayers and your intercession with your spouse, the Holy Spirit. We also ask you, oh dear Mother, to help us conform our lives perfectly to this word, that we may bring Christ into the world as you did that one blessed day at the Annunciation. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingly power, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. So as I'm reading these three verses to you, take care to try and listen. And it might not be very clear to you the first time, but after I read it two or three times, the Holy Spirit will start to work inside your heart, and it will call something to mind that's going on in your own personal life. And either the Holy Spirit will convict you, he'll empower you, he'll clarify. So we'll do this two more times. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingly power, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingly power, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. Holy Spirit, we hope you can make it more clear to us so that as we read this two more times, so we may have a greater understanding of what it means to pray with you in the sake of Scripture. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingly power, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingly power, proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. So for me, automatically, what comes out to me is that lately I've been doing a lot of like discovery of the relationship with the Holy Spirit. I went and gave a talk at a confirmation retreat. I talked about charisms, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've been going to the Charismatic Center lately. And one of the things that is kind of coming to mind when I'm teaching and preaching to these children is that in their confirmation, they're called to be bold, to proclaim Christ boldly in action and in word. And a lot of times Catholics make the excuse that, you know, don't preach, you don't have to be preachy, you don't have to talk to them, you can just, you know, your example, set a good example. But yeah, but you know what, is that example bold? Like bold. Like, so if I'm proclaiming Christ, I must, and I'm going to use my actions must be bold. People should be able to see that my life is 100% different, something way more significant, something, what I do is not, I don't do the same things that the world does. I don't go and watch movies like Twilight. I don't listen to rap music that has bad words in it. I don't watch MTV. I don't, you know, I dress modestly. I don't use bad words. I don't, I try not to lose my temper with people. So, if I'm going to proclaim it in deed, which we're all called to do anyways, despite whether we're trying to proclaim the word or not, it's got to be significant, Christ-centered actions, as opposed to like hating the cross. We love the cross. We love rejection. We love this. We're trying to the best of our ability, of course. And then in word, we must proclaim the word. People are too afraid to say something, but we've been charged by Christ, and this just confirms it, because I've give an example that when I was in high school, if only Catholics were living their confirmation as it's described in the Catechism, paragraph 1303, if you can take that and pray with that also, then I would have been saved a lot of agony and a lot of trouble, and I wouldn't have taken 5 years to realize the truth of the Catholic faith by the time I got to college. And so just, again, to remind you, proclaim the word. I'm proclaiming the word right now. Proclaim the word. Be persistent. Be persistent. Don't stop. Even who cares if people don't like you? Be persistent. Whether it is convenient or inconvenient, even when it's not convenient, we're called to proclaim Christ. In season and out of season. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience. We must be patient. Do this with love and teaching with truth. We do this with love and with truth. Our motivation for preaching and teaching and converting and convincing and reprimanding should never be because we want to be right and that we want them to be wrong. We must remove that pride from our heart. We must preach and teach out of love with our words and our deeds, out of one, love for Christ, and two, love for the person we're talking about. All right, God bless you and God love you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not so bad.